Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Monday, June 16th, 8:05 Central Time, which means it is time to study the Daily Lectionary. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Luke Brown from St. John Lutheran Church in Aliceville, Kansas. Good morning, Pastor Brown.
Good morning.
How are we doing this morning?
Oh, just great.
Good, good, good. Well, tell us about St. John Lutheran Church in Aliceville, Kansas.
Well, this is a extreme remote parish. We're about an hour south of Topeka. We're kind of out in the middle of nowhere. Aliceville has a population of about 20, but we have people who come here. It's a family church. We have about five large families, and they drive 15 or 20 miles to come to church here. It's a remarkable church. Often you'll have a missionary that'll come here, and they'll kind of look at the town, look at the area, and they'll think, oh man, we're going to get about 10 people tonight, and then they'll be surprised. People just keep streaming in. it's a remarkable place, a very warm church, a very active church. We've been here for more than 100 years.
Outstanding, and delivering God's good gifts to the folks in Aliceville, Kansas.
Yes.
Well, Pastor Brown, any background on the text? We're studying John chapter 16 this morning, verses 1 through 16. Any background or insights you want to give us before we dig in?
Well, it's a Pentecost text, and it really talks about the Holy Spirit. Tells quite a bit about the Holy Spirit and gives guidance for the disciples and also for the church today. It's kind of ironic that this was also Trinity Sunday yesterday, mm-hmm. as the church has the opportunity, the Holy Spirit speaks to the church to point the world to Jesus, the world that God created and loves so much.
Amen. Well, we are in John chapter 16, verses 1 through 16 today. Listeners, if you have questions, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. Or you can send us an email with your questions or comments, kfuo@kfuo.org. We'd be glad to take some questions as we're digging into God's Word. We're in John chapter 16 this morning. Let's begin with verse 1. I have said all these things to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. Now, these are Jesus' words, correct? Jesus says, I have said all these things to keep you from falling away.
I thought it was interesting. This month's Lutheran Witness was all about Christian persecution. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was just real interesting as Jesus talks about, in these words, really a continuation of what he had in chapter 15, the hatred of the world. If the world hates you, know it hated me before it hated you. And, when these things happen, not if we have opposition or if we have persecution, but when this happens. I thought of President Harrison's column. He said he was talking to the president of the Ethiopian church and the persecution that they have had. And the president of that church said persecution is always good for the church, always. And how they have grown from where they were, and persecution isn't pleasant. We don't seek it out, but if it comes, we continue, we persevere, and we shouldn't be surprised when it comes. In the West, our form of persecution usually is, we don't have a lot of persecution. I'm not worried about somebody shooting me, but our persecution is reading the Athanasian Creed. So it's not too difficult. We don't have the persecution that other churches have, but we should not be surprised when it comes. And I think we have different. Lutheran Witness also talked about forms of persecution that we have in the world, in the West today, that we need to be aware of.
Mm-hmm. Sure, the persecution we face in this part of the world is very different than the persecution that others face on the other side of the world, especially in Africa, as we were just talking about.
Yeah, we shouldn't be afraid to stand up for, for our Christian witness.
Hmm.
And even if, people mock us or call us names or, for some people, this endangers their job. There are just a lot of ways that we are persecuted today. Persecution takes different forms today than it does in other places of the world.
Jesus says, I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They'll put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they'll do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I've told these things to keep you from falling away. Will there be temptation? Will there be, how would we fall away?
I think we're always tempted, aren't we? Because if this is the disciples, everything's going against them. Everything's going to be going against them here in the next few hours as Jesus says this to them, the greatest wrong in the history of the world is going to happen. And, so many times we want to be on the winning team. You have a lot of people who want to be on the winning team. There are a lot more Cardinals fans than there are Royals fans. If God is behind this, many people are tempted to think, if this is something that is good and God is behind it, then why does it look like the other side is winning?
And
that's something we all wrestle with. I think, in the
right.
midst of difficulty, in the midst of trouble, and it looks like the other side is winning, is this really something that God is behind? And why don't we go with the winning team?
Jesus says, but I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. This phrase, When my time has come, when their hour comes, what does this phrase mean? We see it in Scripture.
It means it's limited. They will have an hour. They will have a season. They will have a period, but it is limited, and it will pass. And this, which gives us comfort. Even when bad things happen, God is still in control, and God has set limits on evil and limits on Satan. They will have their hour, and they will have their hour when they seize Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane look like they have won in the eyes of the world. That is setting the stage for the greatest victory in the history of the world.
They will put you out of synagogues. Indeed, the hour, there's that phrase again. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. So what you're saying is when we see things that reference time for, the hour is coming or their hour comes, that these are temporary things. They don't last forever. God is eternal, but these things are temporary.
I think it gives us great comfort.
Hmm.
Yeah, even when I go through the valley of the shadow of death, this is limited. It's not going to go on forever. This is a momentary inconvenience.
It is. It's temporary. But God is eternal. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. So, falling away from what?
Falling away from Him. From being discouraged. From giving up. To stay strong, keep believing in Him. All evidence to the contrary.
Anything else about this verses 1-4 that you'd like to share with us, Pastor, before we go on to the next section?
Well, it really doesn't. It's kind of a transition verse from before. Jesus has talked quite a bit about opposition, that's not a message that is one that our people that people like to hear very often. That's not a good recruiting speech. but it's honest.
Mm-hmm. Well, shall we go on to the work of the Holy Spirit?
Oh yes.
the second part of verse 4, I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged.
Now, there's nothing to talk about there.
No, nothing.
There's. I wish you'd have given us something to talk about, man. Golly, I don't know if we can spend more than 2 weeks talking about that.
I do not say these things to you from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going?
John Thomas had asked him earlier in chapter 14. He said, well, you know, where are you going? But you know, when he says this, they're thinking more of themselves, and they're more upset about themselves. They're very inward focused. When I think when he says this, because earlier they had asked, "Where are you going?" But they aren't doing that right at this time.
Jesus is referring to going to his Father, ascending into heaven.
Mm-hmm. And that's all, no wonder they're upset. He said this before, and, the disciples are upset. They're confused. Somebody that, they have loved, they have followed, they've believed in, they've staked their entire life on is going away. And, no wonder they're confused. And he talks, in chapter 14, he talks about sending the Helper, the Holy Spirit. He talks about peace. Let not your hearts be troubled. Let them not be afraid. No wonder they're upset. But he did not say that before because he was with them. People talk about a need-to-know basis, and they didn't need to know it yet. But now they do need to know.
He says, but because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart.
Mm-hmm. Why are you sad? Why are you depressed?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, get the big picture. Think of the big, he's encouraging to think, big picture, which is hard, and then they won't be able to until, the Holy Spirit comes and reminds them of all this stuff. But, think big picture. Things. He's going back to the Father. His whole career has been going back to the Father. And now he is from God. He's going back to God. He wants him to ask more about his real destination rather than being inwardly focused, asking about his, what's going to be happening. We ask about his destination. But right now they're very troubled and confused, and they are depressed.
Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So it's to your advantage that I go away. I know you're confused, you're sad, but it's really to your advantage. Who's the Helper that he refers to here?
Well, you got that's Paraclete, and that's my my favorite. A Pentecost joke is that's not a small yellow bird in a cage, but there's so many different ways to, helper is how they translate it here. There's advocate, counselor, one translated it friend. So there are many different ways to translate that, and they all work. It's a great, there are just many different ways to translate that word, and they're all good. They all bring out different aspects of that word that really we don't have anything in English that completely translates it fully. But it's somebody walking along beside you.
Hmm.
I was at the nursing home yesterday, and you have one of our saints who's walking, and they need a little bit of help. They need somebody to walk along beside them, to support them, to encourage them. If they start having trouble, to somebody to they got a belt around them to lift them up, to support them. And just so many ways that is a helper is such a good image for us as we walk along. Somebody to walk along beside us, support, encourage, and to lift us up if we need help. You got counselor. That's another one that you can use. That in a court of law, somebody on your side speaking up for you, defending you. There are many different ways to translate paraclete. Helper is a good one, but there's many different ways to do it.
And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness. Go ahead.
Well, you got the three great wrongs, concerning sin, concerning what is wrong, what is wrong in the world, righteousness, what is right, and then judgment. Who wins? What is wrong in the world, and what really is most wrong in the world? What is the root cause? There are a lot of things that are wrong in the world. And, people say, well, why did the economy tank? Well, it's because, this happened or this happened, but really it's because that, if my, mutual fund doesn't go up, I'm going to be unhappy. If my retirement fund doesn't go up, I'm going to be unhappy and try to fire the CEO of that company. And so they make moves to do things. The root cause comes down to me and greed and sin. Why do we oppress workers? Why do we not have salaries? It's because I want to pay a little bit less for sneakers. And so they'll cut corners and pay people less and abuse people so I can go and buy sneakers for a couple dollars less. The root cause of everything that is wrong in the world comes down to me and sin. So that's what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit convicts us of what is wrong in the world. What is the deepest sin? The deepest sin is that people don't believe in Jesus. The world doesn't believe in Jesus.
We want to trust in ourselves rather than in Jesus. We need to take a break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying the text. We're in John chapter 16 this morning, verses 1 through 16. We're studying with the Reverend Luke Brown, pastor at St. John Lutheran Church in Aliceville, Kansas. If you have questions, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or you can give us an email, kfuo@kfuo.org. Stick around for more study of the Daily Lectionary right here on His Time on Worldwide KFUO. Oh, the messenger of good news.
Cross Defense, the apologetic show for inquiring minds of all ages. Cross Defense airs Mondays from 2 to 3 p.m. on air, online, on demand, right here on Worldwide KFUO.
While the family that owns Hobby Lobby awaits a Supreme Court ruling on its challenge to the health care law's birth control mandate, it's already won the respect of fellow Christians. The Reverend Russell Moore, president of the Southern Baptist Convention's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, presented the Green family with an award last week.
This is for reminding us that religious freedom is a gift from God, our birthright, and not a grant from the state.
The Obama administration argues that for-profit companies don't have religious rights, but Moore says the Green family disagrees.
They believe that God is the author of human life and that every human life from the moment of conception is sacred, and they believe that the government is not the lord of their consciences.
Also challenging the birth control mandate is Conestoga Wood Specialties, which is owned by a Mennonite family. I'm Steve Coleman.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on behalf of Concordia Plan Services, Lutheran Church Extension Fund, the LCMS Foundation, Lutheran Housing Support Corporation, Concordia University System, and Corporate Synod, daily reaches out to our members and partners, working together to support our local, global, and international ministries, church workers, and LCMS initiatives at large to carry the mission forward and to serve each other in love. Opportunities to serve, lcms.org/jobsboard.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are studying the Daily Lectionary today with the Reverend Luke Brown from St. John Lutheran Church in Aliceville, Kansas. We're in John chapter 16 this morning, verses 1 through 16. If you have questions, give us a call or an email. The phone numbers are 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. And it is time for us to get back into God's Word. Now, Pastor, I think we left off around verses 8 and 9, 10, right around there. But but if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment, concerning sin because they do not believe in me, concerning righteousness because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer, and concerning judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Now, we were talking about, we were first talking about sin. Any other thoughts about that before we go on to, and I think we started to talk about righteousness.
Yeah, well, we talked about, you know, the greatest wrong in the world is that, you know, it doesn't believe in Jesus, but what is the most right thing in the world, and that is that they do believe in Jesus, that Jesus' career is the, you know, the single most right thing that ever happened in world history. You know, everything revolves around believing in Jesus. It's you know, it's almost like it's law and gospel. I wonder if anybody's ever thought of that. I wonder if anybody's ever thought of that. I bet somebody has.
Judgment, concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged.
The ruler, you know, and when is this going to happen? When is the ruler of this world, of course, is Satan, and he has been judged. It's past tense. And, you know, who wins? The ruler of the world is judged at the cross. You know, when Jesus goes to the cross, the ruler is judged and the ruler is defeated. And it has been defeated. It's a done deal. I think that that gives us great comfort. We really win. Sometimes, you know, it looks like evil wins. You watch the news or anything like that, and it looks like evil is winning. But Jesus tells us that all appearances to the contrary, you know, contemporary violence, corruption, sleaze, all of that stuff, you know, it's already been judged. It's already lost. Jesus has won.
Verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine, and all that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you.
You know, many things, he has many things yet to say, and this is, you know, the Holy Spirit, we have many things that the Holy Spirit would remind the apostles about, you know, what had happened, and you know, we have many things that have been, you know, developed over the years to help protect the church's ministry and message and mission, you know, like the Trinity and the many things like that. But Jesus said he was the truth. I am the way and the truth and the life. So when he talks about the truth, he's pointing to himself. The Spirit is going to point to Jesus and what Jesus has done and what Jesus would do on the cross. Things coming up, especially things that would happen in the next few hours. As Jesus leaves there and goes to the garden, and what's going to come in the next few hours, things coming up as Jesus goes to the cross. I always think it's, you know, interesting. You know, the Spirit is always, we've always called the Spirit the shy member of the Trinity, but, you know, what is the Spirit's job? It's to point to Christ. This is very Christ-centered, and it's also very cross of Christ-centered, as the Holy Spirit points to not only Jesus and what Jesus has done, but he points to the cross to show us how much Jesus has loved us and what he has done for us.
When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. What does this tell us about the Trinity?
How interconnected it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus said, you know, Jesus is bound to God, and the Spirit is bound to Jesus. They're all bound to each other. They're not independent. They're all bound to each other, and they're all working together. It's a community. It's you know, that kind of stuff. It shows just how interconnected they are.
All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And so how is that Trinity then connected to us?
Well, it's connected to the church and us as individual Christians, but that's the message the church gives, has been given, and us as individual Christians, but the church has been given the mission to, you know, declare that, you know, declare what is wrong with the world, what is right with the world, and that, you know, who wins? Well, Jesus wins. And I mean, that is a message that that each of us has and that the church has, and we as individual Christians have. We remind ourselves of that, that, you know, we don't go it alone, that we're not out there by ourselves when we are, you know, going out there in Jesus' name. That we never forget that great good news, that in the midst of difficulty and discouragement and things that don't happen the way, you know, we wish they would or think they would, that, you know, God, you know, completely and totally forgives us because of you know, the death that Jesus died, you know, for us, that our sin, our record of sin has been erased, and God declares us righteous, that we are right, that we win because of the perfect life that Jesus has lived for us. I don't think we can hear that too often.
Right. There's great value in hearing it again and again and again, isn't there?
Yeah.
And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Before, we were talking about you know, things being temporary, with my, you know, their hour has come, things like that. But God's work is eternal, isn't it?
And it's something, you know, that we just have to keep reminding ourselves all the time of that, you know, that these things are temporary, that they are passing, but we have, you know, a home prepared in advance for us, and that will last forever. These things are only passing, or only fleeting.
The last verse here, verse 16, it's just this little chunk thrown right into to today's reading included. A little while, and you will see me no longer, and again, a little while, and you will see me. Here,
yeah,
we're talking about time and now eternity again, right?
Yeah, yeah. What's he talking about? Because he, you know, the disciples, you know, they will not see him, and then they will see him again, and then they, and then he will ascend into heaven, but then they will see him again in heaven. You know, and for us, we will see him in heaven also. I think that's a, you know, as we look forward, you know, that we will see him.
How does this help us understand eternity? I mean, we only understand things through the eyes of time because we've lived on this side of eternity. So how does this help us understand eternity? How does this, give us any perspective on eternity?
I think it does. We're judging from where we are, and you know, it's hard to see the end of the story when we're in the middle of it. But we've been told the end of the story, that we win in the middle of it. It's hard to see that. But we've been told the end of the story. I always enjoy comparing this to a football game that I've watched. I watched tape of a football game, and I knew the final score. And so, during the game, you know, the team that I liked, you know, they had fumbles, they'd have penalties, they'd have, you know, the refs make a bad call, or they'd have an interception, or something like that. But I didn't get overly upset because I knew that the good guys would win in the end. And I think we can compare that to our Christian life also. You know, it looks like the bad guys are winning, but, you know, we know what the final score is, and we know that the good guys do win. We know that Jesus has won, and the ruler of this world has been judged. He's still out there thrashing about, and he can still cause damage. But we know the final score. We know that he's been judged. He's already defeated.
And that gives us confidence as we sojourn in this flesh, as we sojourn in this world, in time.
That should affect everything that we do as we go out. We go out with courage and confidence. You know, and we should, you know, see people as Jesus sees them, and see ourselves as Jesus sees us, to forgive ourselves and to love other people and to treat other people as brothers and sisters for, you know, whom Jesus also suffered and died. It should affect everything in our life.
Knowing that we have this promise of eternity, a little while and you will see me no longer, and again, a little while and you will see me, we have this promise of eternity that we will see Jesus, we will be with Jesus. And he uses the phrase a little while. What does he mean by that here? A little while and you will see me no longer, and again a little while and you will see me.
Yeah. What's a little while? You know, what are our lives? Our lives, you know, they might be 70 or 80 years, but what is that compared to eternity? It's a little while. And, you know, the illness that we have compared to eternity, you know, it seems like it's a long time when we're in the middle of it, but in relation, in how God sees it, it's a little while. So, as we're going through these things, you know, Jesus reminds us that it's a little while. It may seem like a long time now, but it's only a little while. It will pass.
That kind of gives us, I guess, another picture of what time is like compared to eternity. Only just a little while, as you said, that what is 70 years of life in this world compared to eternity? Just a little while.
Yeah. And, you know, we're parted from loved ones for a little while,
mm-hmm.
but we will be with them in eternity. So, you know, in the meantime, we struggle on, we keep going, knowing what's coming. We're parted only for a little while.
Or, as you pointed out earlier, we may face persecution. We most likely will face persecution. When we face persecution, what does this verse 16 give us? What confidence?
Only a little while.
Hmm.
It's only for a little while. And, you know, we're going to win. You know, we may suffer, and we very likely will suffer. But it's only for a little while, and we know that that this can serve the kingdom, that we serve God. You know, we witness to the importance of God in our life in many different ways, and we may witness through our suffering. But it's only for a little while. No matter what happens, it's only for a little while.
It's not eternal suffering.
Yeah. So because we put up with this little suffering for a little while, because we believe in Jesus, we don't have to endure the eternal suffering.
Hmm. And because of the suffering that he endured on our behalf.
Far greater than anything we can imagine.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, we've been studying John chapter 16, verses 1 through 16. Pastor, any other comments about today's text as we wrap up our time together this morning?
I think I always enjoy the Holy Spirit. And how the Lutheran Church is a very second article-oriented church. You know, we talk about Jesus. And, other churches are more third article, and they focus on the Holy Spirit. But I like how we do it. I think the Holy Spirit does not get upset when we don't spend a lot of time talking about him. I think that the Holy Spirit likes us when we, and then the Holy Spirit's doing his job when we focus on, when we focus on Christ and we focus on the cross of Christ. I like how we do it. And I think that just, the Holy Spirit gives us, confidence and courage as we live out our life of faith, as we work through, our lives, individual Christians, and work through the church to tell the world about Jesus and this world that God loved so much and created.
Amen. Well, we've been studying the Daily Lectionary today with the Reverend Luke Brown from St. John Lutheran Church in Aliceville, Kansas, John 16, verses 1 through 16. It's been a great study of God's Word. Pastor, thanks so much for taking time this morning to teach us, to guide us, and study God's Word with us.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed it.
God's blessings to you and all the saints there at St. John Lutheran Church in Aliceville, Kansas.
All right. Thank you. And also with you.
Thanks. Coming up in a little bit, we've got morning prayer. In the meantime, we've got just a little bit of sacred music to sanctify your morning as well. So stick around for more His Time right after this on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.